Hey, it's Kelly here. Thanks for joining us. Once you're finished listening, I'd like to invite you to join our free private practice community, where you can connect with over 10,000 therapists just like you and get access to over 15 hours of free trainings, including some that qualify for CEs. Visit our website at zinnyme.com and click community at the top of the page. We'll see you there.
I could not be more delighted today to bring back Gary Brown to talk about private practice in Los Angeles as a successful therapist going through the changes of life and a pandemic and all these other pieces. If you haven't, we'll have the information in the show notes. Gary has shared pieces of his story before, but we're gonna do a deep dive and an update as to what are the lessons that are being learned and relearned and reaffirmed through these last couple of tumultuous years in private practice. Welcome, Gary.
Oh, it's a delight, Miranda, an absolute delight.
Do you want to share your website for people?
Sure. It's drgarybrowntherapy.com. drgarybrowntherapy.com. Or if you just, I have redirects because I own about 45 URLs that redirect to that website. That was a great marketing idea. So if you just do the short version, drgarybrown.com, you'll get there.
Awesome. So do you want to give people like the little like short, like quick and dirty in like less than 5 minutes of you as a therapist, why, what your private practice looked like, kind of like who you are in like a little.
Sure. I mean, just a brief overview. I've been in private practice over 30 years now. I'm going to age myself, approaching 40 years now. Really age myself there.
Going to say, wait a minute, 30 years. We've been working together for a while. It's got to be getting close to 40.
It's 40. Actually it is 40. For whatever reasons, before I met you and Kelly and boot camp, and then Mac, I was considered a very successful therapist here in Los Angeles, and continue to enjoy the work. I mean, I'm that guy who's never going to retire. I think those who know me know that, you know. Somebody said, you know, when are you going to retire? I go, you'll know when you see my obituary. That's when I retire. But I'm still loving the work. And what boot camp did for me, just in short, is what we all really needed when we were in graduate school, frankly. Just like, hey, this is a business. And we're here to serve people in the world. We want to serve in the world. We want to do good in the world. And it's a business. And there was so much... I'm going to be a repeat. I didn't know what I didn't know. that's absolutely been true. And I would say probably the last time we talked, I had about 50 or 60 action items that I had taken just based on boot camp, and then about another 15 or 20 after Mac. And since then I've done even more. I mean, mostly what I've learned to do is, I think the most helpful thing for me was, what does my ideal practice look like? What does my ideal day look like? It really helped me flesh out a vision that was kind of hazy for me. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be successful financially, but there's other measures of success. And that goes to lifestyle, right? And the financial part was working well, and even better after boot camp. Still don't charge enough. But lifestyle wise, I was working way too hard, way too many hours. And so I needed to kind of like refine what I was doing. And some of the ideas that you guys had have been really helpful. So I hired an IT guy that I use much more than, because I'm just not adept. I'm still an analog guy, honestly. but I hired an assistant to help me with articles, I now don't call them blogs anymore. Articles sounds more professional. I like that. I hired an SEO assistant who got me from the 8th to the 9th page to the 1st and the 2nd page. Actually, she's now, it's a few years later, we're redoing it. Now every year we redo that. So, I mean, all these things that I had not a clue about that you and Kelly introduced me and to all of us literally have been a game changer. I was working 25 to 30 hours and I went, you know, I just don't want to do that anymore. Plus the work I was doing at the hospital. I mean, I was on call there 123 hours a week. They paid me handsomely for that. Now that's gone away after 25 years. And I'm actually, I'm fine with it because it was only, you know, 25% of my income, maybe 30 in a bad year, quote unquote. So then I cut down after Mac, when I really got clear on my vision or clearer, I cut down to like 23 to 25 hours a week. And now since the pandemic, I've said, you know what, I don't even want to work 23 to 25 anymore. So now I'm down to right around 16, 17, 18, maybe 19 in a quote, a really busy week. My income has dropped, but it has had no impact on my, because my fees have just gone up. So it's really had no impact on my lifestyle. And it's even allowing me to set up a, it's really extra at this point. So we have a daughter who's was in a catastrophic car accident years ago, hit by a commercial truck, and it can't be fixed. So, you know, now a lot of the money is going to go to setting up a medical trust fund for her. And that just, you know, I just can't thank you guys enough for just everything, because didn't see that one coming.
Oh, that is quite the piece, right?
Yeah.
I think that, I just want to pause and like, just breathe that in, that your practice in this moment isn't just taking care of you and your wife and your daughter in the here and now, but it's something that's going to be taking care of your daughter in the future after you your obituary's there and you retire. Hopefully we can come up with a good succession plan in terms of someone purchasing your practice as well at some point in the future.
Already in my professional will.
Perfect. Yay, you did the professional will part of boot camp. That makes you so happy.
Oh yeah, I went down on that. I made my OCD work with that one.
I
started off with about 5 or 6 or 8 indexes, and now it's got 24.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
So that your practice is going to take care of your family after you're gone. And that, and I think what's interesting, I think a lot of therapists feel this, like this sense of, is that asking for too much to take care of our family after we're gone? And I don't think it is. I think it's part of our, it's a part of what we're asked to do is, can we, and not, you know, and sometimes that's easier than others, right? If your daughter hadn't been in a catastrophic car accident, to make sure your family was taken care of would be a different thing than it is when you know she's going to have significant medical bills ongoing. She's not going to be able to earn an income ongoing. Like, this is the reality, but this is what we sign up for when we have children and when we have family members, when we bring people into our circle. And so I think it's a beautiful thing when we can be healers and helpers for other people, and we can take care.
It's
beautiful.
You know,
tell me about, if it's okay, I want to go back to,
go for it.
When, like, it's sort of like we have the before pandemic and after pandemic, right? Or before, actually, I shouldn't even say that. We have before and during pandemic or what have you.
Yes.
So I want to go into, what are some of the pieces when things started, and obviously we're essential worker. What were some of the decisions you had to make in your private practice in terms of whether you were going to move virtual or still see people in person? And how did you make those decisions?
Sure. I mean, some of the decisions I made didn't take very long, Miranda, just because this is a very deadly illness. And, you know, being over 70, I have vulnerabilities and I have COPD. Mm-hmm. So, the dirty little secret about asthma as a child is it resolves in his 30s and 40s and then comes back right around this time. So for me, it was really literally about survival, my own personal survival. If I'm not around, I can't serve. Mm-hmm. And so pretty shortly, I mean, within 3 or 4 weeks, I closed the office on March 16th or 17th. I forget, I've got the date in my office. I closed the office. I didn't see any patients in person. And now, and since then, basically it's been strictly Zoom. The data is about 85% Zoom, Zoom healthcare, by the way. I like mm-hmm. it because it has much better encryption and it's required. Mm-hmm. By the way, you can work a deal with them. They wanted to charge me $200 a month, and coming from my Hebrew roots, I said, well, I have to negotiate that. So, got them down to 166 for the first year, and that's good. So, even that's negotiable. Mm-hmm. But Zoom has been a game changer because typically I see patients Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And what it's allowed me to do is, I didn't feel comfortable going into the office because I didn't, for my own sanitation reasons, just decided, I'm just going to work from home. And I did that. And then about 4 months ago, I put in sanitation towers in the office. I'm still not seeing anybody in person, mm-hmm. just for my own safety. You know, the janitor could have been there and God forbid if something's in the air. I didn't want to take the chance. Mm-mm. And so, but I decided to get out of Eileen's hair. God bless her. she's not used to having me home 7 days a week, and it's a modest home. And it was good for me to get back in the office actually. So I just went to the office and I did Zoom sessions, and that's what I'm still doing. Typically on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Thursdays a slightly shorter day, and so Thursdays I do one day at home.
How have you been managing the energy levels as an analog guy, as someone who isn't used to being in front of the, and doesn't want to be in front of the computer? How have you been managing that in private practice?
Honestly, I kind of dig it.
I love it.
My old iMac 27 kind of like was getting ready to go out and I needed to upgrade. So I got a Mac Mini. And then recently I upgraded. I got a 34-inch monitor, curved monitor. Game changer, absolute game changer, because I don't experience any Zoom fatigue now, which is just like, and just having a really high-end Zoom monitor, monitor curved. For the computer that's curved is just, I can't even describe it. And then I bought, a nice Logitech camera. So, there's physical things, and I have a little ring lights as well. So, there's things you can do to reduce the fatigue. And for me, since I'm only working 3 days a week, six, maybe 7 hours a day, mm-hmm. It's been really good. I enjoy it. I'm at home right now. It looks like I'm in my office, mm-hmm. but that's a virtual background. That actually is my office. I'm actually at home right now.
Oh, wow. So you have a virtual background going on right now.
As we speak.
I love it. And it's not, sometimes it's really obvious that there's a virtual background in there, but it doesn't look obvious at all.
Well, I went into the office. I took literally about 50 pictures with my iPhone. And then I came home and then I asked Eileen for some help, said, hey, which do you think would be the best background? And we both agreed out of the 50 or so, this one was the one.
Oh, I love it. Do you have a green screen behind you?
Nope. I should. I should. If I make a move like that, or you might see pillows. Well, evidently not today.
It's not too bad. I wonder if it is also the fact that you have the Zoom for healthcare, because usually it's very obvious when somebody has the virtual background in, but I don't notice it.
Well, it may also be this new Logitech
webcam. So
that may be the difference. You know, I don't know. I've also noticed if I wear a dark shirt, mm-hmm. less chance of seeing a disturbed background. Whereas if I wear a white shirt or a very light colored shirt. So that's the deal. But yeah, I mean, going back to the pandemic, you know, I've been keenly aware, of course, at my age, you are anyway, of mortality. Again, mm-hmm. people live long in my family. I'm hoping to go at this for another 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. Seriously, I mean, we know my deal. I don't want to retire. That would not go well for me. and so I'm just finding that I'm loving the work as much now as I ever have. And one of the neat things about, I mean, there's definitely been some silver linings here. Mm-hmm. I now have clients from all over the state of California that, you know, I didn't see that coming. You know, I have about four clients up in the South Bay. So here I am in LA, but, you know, for whatever reason, they found me and we were all good fit for one another. So, and that's four separate people who none of whom know one another. So who knew?
Right. But I think that's the piece that's so magical as well, in terms of finding that right fit for client and that right fit for therapist. Mm-hmm. When we start to remove some of the barriers, right?
Yeah.
That we just make life so much easier for everybody involved. And I know there's, you know, there's pros and cons to everything, right? Virtual included. But I think that there's something magical about reducing the barriers to people getting good quality mental health care. And that there is this, I think, deep understanding right now that like no other time that we've experienced that like, hey, we need to take care of ourselves. Like this is, if this isn't the time you need therapy, I don't know when you might like.
Yeah, I imagine this is true for so many of us. And you know, I'm sure we've all heard from, and again, I interchangeably use the word client and patient only because I was brought up in the medical model, worked with the hospitals. So,
all good.
Also, I have that dyslexia thing going. But one of the things that I've heard from my clients, many of them is, and I'm going to give them all the option. I get my second vaccine this Saturday, and then I'm going to wait about 30 days. And then I'm going to see how it goes. And then I may reopen the office to in-person. I'm contemplating that. Mm-hmm. I need to see what's going on with these variants. But at some point, you know, I'm going to give all my clients the option. If you want to do remote sessions for the rest of your life, because it saves you an hour and a half commute one way to get to my office, mm-hmm. Then that's what we're going to do. If you want to do in person and it's safe to do so, you know, following CDC and county health guidelines, mm-hmm. guidelines and all that, then we'll meet in person. I'm fine.
Yeah,
I'll do whatever my clients want to do. That for them is going to optimize their experience. And as you say, Miranda, reduce whatever barriers I can. Yeah. So again, that's been another incredible silver lining.
Yeah. Would you have, if we were to like rewind maybe sure. 5 to 7 years ago when we met, could you have imagined that, not the pandemic, but could you have imagined that you'd be doing all your work virtually?
No. No, it literally a thought that never crossed my mind,
right? You know,
until COVID. It the idea of this, it just never occurred to me.
I'm trying to think. I remember I'm wondering like how many other times you had been on Zoom, not with us. Like, I remember us doing the first couple of like Zoom things, right?
Right.
That like, here was this experience that we got to have and having Zoom sessions. And I'm hopeful that that made it a little bit easier during the transition.
It did to me.
Yeah. I was this is Gary Brown. He was like, all right, I'll put on the thing. What do I need to do? Click the link, Gary. Okay. Is this working? Yeah, it's working, Gary. We're good. And here you are with your curved screen and your virtual background, you know, and just a full practice that's seeing people from out of the area. And
your perspective on what's happened to me professionally is just a just the migration, the transitions I've made. I hadn't thought about it in the way that you just did it, but I think you really encapsulated it well, Miranda. I mean, truly analog to digital, who knew?
Right. And what I love about it too, is that in that space, right, where you have opened up so much digitally, you also have said, here are the things that I need. Yeah. I need a tech guy. I need an SEO person. I need someone who's going to take care of the writing. Here are the things I can do and that I'm capable. I can stretch in these ways, but here are the things that are stressors. Here are the things that would be not beneficial for me to like put my energy into, and that you've set up your business in such a way that your business can support that.
Yes.
It can take care of those things and you're not feeling like, oh, I don't have any profit if I was to do those things. Right.
Yeah. It's you know, and I'm still paying office rent, but I'm happy to do it. You know, I mean, there's plenty of surplus there, so it's, you know, and because as much as I enjoy doing the virtual, we all know as clinicians, nothing really replaces actually being in the same room with a person. Just nothing's going to ever replace that. And so I just want people to have the option. And and that's why I've kept my office. I will tell you, probably 90% of the people in my building on the second floor of a building, which is almost all therapists, I would say 90% of them have terminated their leases and they're gone. And all they're doing is virtual. But I foresee a time when, hopefully in the not too distant future, people are going to want to meet in person. And I think particularly if you have someone who's in a deep crisis and they really need that face-to-face in-person contact.
Yeah, I think that like that co-regulation that we do, right? And it's hard to do over the thing. Like, and, you know, not that everybody hugs with therapy. I did, but, like hugs.
I'm a hugger.
Hugs are an important piece, and like, there is no virtual hug that makes me feel the way that like a real heart hug feels right in person. So I think that's a beautiful thing. I think it's also one of the things I like about therapists being in this space is that I feel like therapists are taking a beat to say what really works for me. Mm-hmm. I tried on something new for size. What do I like? What do I not like? People have determined, what do I need in an office? What do I not need in an office? And I think also there's going to be some, it's going to be interesting to see. I'm so curious on how leasing rates and agreements, especially in places where there's been really low availability, right? Low supply and high demand.
Right.
LA is a great example of that in terms of lease agreements. I'm curious what kind of adjustment there'll be in terms of pricing for office space. I'm so curious whether it's going to stay stagnant, whether we're going to have this big rebound, whether the owners are going to have to like increase the rents just to like keep it together. Like, I'm just curious.
I can tell you a little bit about what's happening here in LA. A lot of leases are being terminated or renegotiated.
Yeah.
My landlord, and I've been in this office for literally 40 years. Mm. This is the only office I've known since I've been in private practice, other than, you know, when I was doing internships. And the landlord has been just incredibly awesome. And he said, look, we're not going to do the 3% CPI. And I was one of the few therapists in the building who said, look, you and I have a contract and an agreement. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pay you. I'm not going to use COVID as an excuse not to pay you. And I know full well I can afford to pay you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's just been a very good relationship that we've had over the years. But he's lost a lot of business. You know, he's had to refinance pretty much a lot of properties that he owns. And he's probably has lost some properties. So, you know, it's we're all in the same boat. We're all in different parts of the boat dealing with different issues.
Yeah.
But I would imagine a lot of people, if they wanted to keep an office right now, or if they're an emerging therapist or an experienced clinician and want to get back into an office, I'm going to guess you're going to find some pretty good deals.
Yeah. think so too.
Yeah.
I think so too. I think it's going to be really an interesting space to kind of get into.
Yeah.
All right. So going back to what is a lesson that another silver lining or lesson that you have learned during this last pandemic that you want to share? Because one of the things I love about this Starting a Counseling Practice podcast is that we give you a chance to kind of speak to these clinicians out there that may not meet you in any other way and for you to help direct them, you know?
I mean, that's a difficult question to answer because I can go to like 20 different responses to that. Right. I think for me, it was really getting used to the idea that I needed to upgrade my technology. I needed to upgrade my skill set. I needed to become more knowledgeable about, you know, the intricacies of Zoom and HIPAA requirements. And to maintain the confidentiality of the people I work for. So I think that, and again, the it's going to sound, you know, it's not terribly sophisticated, but the issue of technology and upgrading, if you can afford to do so, make sure that, you know, you're doing everything to make your life as comfortable as a clinician as you possibly can. You have to think about, you know, what, you know, and Kelly taught us about, you know, what your ideal practice looks like. What does your ideal day look like? You know, what does your ideal life look like? Well, you know, I had to start thinking, okay, what is my ideal pandemic clinical life look like? Yeah. So I started framing it that way. And the answer is probably going to be different for each one of us, and maybe the same in some ways. But if you start thinking in terms of what's my ideal pandemic clinical life look like, then I think that starts to move you in that direction. And thinking about what do you need for your own comfort? I owe it to my patients, my clients, I owe it to them to really devote as much as I can to my own self-care. And whatever I have to do before, during, or after this pandemic, and I think, frankly, it's one of the reasons I've reduced my hours, is I felt like, you know, it comes at a point when you only have so much energy. And I would also say, one of the really cool things about another one of the silver linings in the pandemic is when I left the hospital, I had relationships there for like 20, 25 years with people. Mm-hmm. And I started seeing my colleagues there getting slammed. Working in the emergency department, working in acute areas of medicine, working in COVID ICUs, COVID units, or their unit wasn't a COVID unit and then were cannibalized and made a COVID unit. Mm-hmm. So now what I'm doing is I have my regular client load on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Monday afternoons, I'm now doing pro bono work via Zoom. With colleagues of mine who are still at the hospital and they're still suffering and they're having all the issues they're having to deal with is being frontline healthcare providers. Mm-hmm. You know, I have the luxury of being here in my home or my office and with no exposures, and they have constant exposures. The stressors are for them are incredible. So I do some Zoom consulting and it's pro bono. It's just, you know, I don't charge for it. And, and that makes my heart happy. And it makes me feel, helps me feel like, you know, I'm still contributing, you know, beyond my practice. And so that's, I wouldn't have thought to do that had I not become more comfortable with technology. And that didn't happen because of you and Kelly. Aww. And everybody else in boot camp, all my fellow boot campers who encouraged me to kind of like, you know, okay, Gary, we're going to get you into the 21st century here.
It'll be okay, Gary. We'll do it.
It'll be okay. You'll survive. I'm going, okay.
Do you want to hear a funny piece of that? Do you want to know who introduced me to like video chatting and Skype? My grandmother, who is currently in her 80s. So yes. She was the one that was like, oh, you got to try out the Skype thing. We'll figure it out. Like, here's the piece, right? But right. They learned about it based on necessity because they traveled out of the country for, you know, every year, and there you couldn't just get on a cell phone.
Right.
So it became like we need this because there's a necessity, right?
Yeah.
So it's so funny, right? How we can all get into our...
We're all getting there one way or the other. I want to add another thing that was so incredibly helpful. This is pre-COVID, but that was a game. There was like, you know, 25 or 30 things, modification I made to my website after I met you guys. Mm-hmm. And again, suggestions from other boot campers too. Thank you all. God bless you all who helped pull me through this. But if you don't have you're doing yourself and your potential clients a disservice if you don't have a promo video on your homepage. That has done more to convert clients than anything else, more than my website itself, is your promo video. I cannot emphasize that enough. It was a game changer. Absolute game changer.
You've heard Gary talk a couple times about Mac, but for some of you new listeners have no idea what he's talking about. We did something several years ago called Most Awesome Conference. And we did this whole process where people would come and work on their business. And we had a professional photographer, Jessa Anderson, came and did headshots. We had Ernesto Sigismundo come in from filmit.com and he did promo videos for people. And then we had like just expert coaching and people digging into like great trainings. We had a hair and makeup person. We had a coffee cart. It was super fun. Things we could do. It was so awesome. I'm like, I can't wait until we can have in-person things again. So that's what he's talking about. And I think those investments, right, of time and energy. And now, like, there's so much we can do, even just with an iPhone and making a promo video. And one of the great things, too, for those of you who are listening, that yes, we can use Filmit, we can use all these things, but there's actually some interesting research that having a less produced video currently seems to be converting better on social media. So having something that you just film with your iPhone, you know, nicely, right? We're not going to be like looking up our nose or anything, but can be just as effective. So if you're not at a place where you can afford or you feel like you can afford to invest, you can still do video right now. And then you can put it in your budget as you move forward. So there's no excuse not to have video on your website, guys. If you don't have $5, you probably still have a smartphone. Record the video, put it on there. And then again, we'll have the information in the show notes for Filmit and some of the other resources that I mentioned.
Yeah.
I just want to thank you so much, Gary, for taking time out today to come and give us that update and just be a part. I just so appreciate you as a member of our of that big broader community, and I love hearing updates from you, and I especially love your heart and how vulnerable you always are in terms of just here's the real. And I love that also you don't you, as much as you might want to be, you're not that stereotypical 70-year-old analog guy, right?
Not anymore.
No, but I think that's part of you joining bootcamp, right? You were just in this hey, I want to get a little bit out of my comfort zone. I want to know what I don't know. And I want to feel re-inspired. And so I'm just so glad that you are part of our community. And I appreciate you.
It's a beautiful family that the two of you started. And again, I will never be able to express my gratitude. My deep gratitude for what you've done for me, what you've done for my family, what you've done for my clients. I know I said this in the first interview we did. I'm also a better clinician. And it just inspired me to, you know, want to learn more, want to take in more, want to expand more as a therapist, forgetting the money part of it, forget all that stuff. Just, it was really interesting because I I know I said this first interview, I was on the verge of possibly mailing it in, and I didn't want to be that guy. And just thanks to you and Kelly and everybody in this family of boot campers, people who offered me support. I hope I've given as much back as I've received, if hopefully more. But just thank you so much. Just game changer, not just for me. I love you.
All right, guys.
I just love you from the bottom of my heart. I just love you.
You love me too, Gary. Oh my gosh. All right. Go and check out the show notes before Gary makes me cry again. Always.
I'm gonna go grab my own tissues.
All of the things. And hope you guys will, if you're looking for some reconnection, we have our marketing masterclass coming up. Come join us. It's free. It's got CEs. And again, always heart behind it. And we will get you reconnected and loving your work and get your marketing on point all at the same time. Win, win, win. So join us.
Love it.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Starting a Counseling Practice podcast. We hope you are feeling empowered and have gained new knowledge about yourself and your business. We would love to continue supporting you in our free community for therapists. Just visit classroom.zinnyme.com to join the fun.